What's up, Titans?
So, hi everyone, I am Yashika for today's episode.
And I'm Osella Efenyo from 11B.
So, Osella, can I ask you something? How did Women's History Month start, since we're talking about that today?
Oh yes, so this month is full of, you know, women, influential women, since it's March 1st and March 31st. So, did you know that educators in Santa Rosa, California, first celebrated Women's History Week in March 1978 to increase awareness of women's contributions to society? Organizers selected a week in early March to correspond with International Women's Day on March 8th. Over the next several years, other cities across the country joined Santa Rosa in celebrating Women's History Week.
That's actually kind of cool. And considering that Women's History Month is for the whole month of March, let me give you a bit track back to the history as well. In 1980, U.S. President Jimmy Carter declared the week of March 8th National Women's History Week, urging everyone in the United States to participate. According to Carter, he said, "Too often, the women were unsung, and sometimes their contributions went unnoticed. But the achievements, leadership, courage, strength, and love of the woman who built America was as vital as that of the men whose names we know so well." That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Now, moving on to our next segment, we gave already our brief discussion about how History Week starts. We also have a thing called Her Story Highlights. So today we would like to highlight a influential Filipino figure, which is Apo Wang Od, which you may know as the one who, or the old lady who is also right now 107 years old, who featured in the Philippine Vogue magazine talking about her passion of igniting tattooing culture in the Philippines. Because as we know, keeping culture up in the Philippines is quite difficult, but for people of this old age and so much experience, isn't that so great to hear, Osella?
You know, it's actually pretty shocking. She's like, she has the mastery of the mm-hmm. ancient art of, do you know the tattoo?
Yeah,
the
exactly. The ancient bato?
Like,
yeah, the bato.
Yeah, where, you know, I saw in like, around social media, it's actually really cool how people want to see her, you know? Mm-hmm. Just to experience what it feels like, actually, to have that kind of tattoo. So, overall, Apo Wang Od is really, she's really influential. And getting to know her is really, it's just great.
It's such an honor. And also, what I love about what Vogue did was that they actually showed the true texture of her skin with all the tattoos. So, you know, it doesn't seem like the classic Photoshop ones.
So, are we and you viewers ready? Our guest for today's special Women's Month graduated magna cum laude in the University of the Philippines and is a part of the Phi Kappa Phi Honor Society. She is doing marketing and business development and has helped numerous local entrepreneurs to promote their products. Let us all welcome Anna Mae B. Sagao.
Hello.
Hello.
So, how have you been doing?
I've been doing good, but it's not quite as good for the past months because it's been hectic for me. I've been to different places. I've been around the whole of Luzon for a year now. Mm-hmm. Like, for 1 week, I travel from South Luzon and then to North and to East and West. So I've been around. So if a person asks me, "Where have you been?" I couldn't tell them where exactly because I'm all over the place. So yeah, that's me.
So hearing from what you said sounds pretty cool. So would I say you have a sort of traveling addiction?
Yeah, I think. But not really addiction because sometimes, like majority of the times, I have to travel because of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then it's a leisure, it's a privilege for me to travel abroad because of the job that I have right now. Like, I don't really have a me time or an opportunity to travel for just for leisure. I mostly travel for work. But that's that.
Doesn't that sound really cool, like traveling?
You know, I saw in like this case study where you can mix business and free time. So were you able to do that while you were traveling?
You know, ano, you're on point, ah. Because, okay, so last, I think that was 2 weeks ago, or just last week. I forgot, I'm sorry. I think that was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was traveling Thailand. I think that's my first travel to Thailand, and at the same time, it's my out of the country travel. First out of the country travel this year,
mm-hmm.
like just for leisure. And I was thinking, because I am very talkative as a traveler, I'm very sociable as a person, and I'm very friendly. So we got this driver who drove us from the mall to our hotel, and that just because of that trip, I gained a new friend. And I gained a new business idea. I was thinking, because he was operating a lot of like vans and vehicles around Thailand in Bangkok. He was telling me an opportunity to like open maybe how can you say that? Ano nga ba? I forgot the name. Like an agency, travel agency in the country. You just got to have like a representative from a specific country, and they will help you to organize the whole trip for the transportation, the itinerary, and everything. So I think that's when you can blend business and traveling,
mm-hmm.
because you can have fun doing that, right? And I just pitched that to my parents, because my parents are my boss. If you don't know, I am currently involved to all of our family businesses. So we're doing construction, and also in the hospitality, we have hotel and the resort, and also restaurants. So that's kind of my thing. Yeah.
It's nice to hear that when you say traveling, people mostly relate it to leisure or fun, but it's also a very eye-opening experience, as you said.
Yes, that's true. Very.
I mean, out of all the places you've traveled to, what do you think is like the best place that you've enjoyed mixing
it's
your...
It's hard. Oh my God, this is hard. 2 years ago, I went to Italy to study also. But I wanted to say Italy, specifically Verona.
Oh, I've heard.
But back in 2018, I went to Lisbon in Portugal. I don't know what's in Lisbon, maybe because I have a Portuguese best friend there, but I think because I was able to like meet locals from Portugal and also like actually bond with them, I was also able to like go into like their traditional homes, you know. I felt deeply with them, so I could say it's Portugal. And second would be Italy, Milan, Rome, and Vicenza and Verona. But Verona is my first choice. Yeah.
It all sounds so good.
I know.
It makes me want to ask a question. So you're a woman in business, and that is a huge tombstone huge mark. How would you describe your experiences as being a woman in business?
Okay, that's a beautiful question. I think I could say, I wanted actually to share two anecdotes, but first I'd like to share this one personal instance. I think I could share about like my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be, this is very cliche, and very, but I could say that I am the woman that I am today because of my upbringing. So we are all female in the family, like except for my dad, of course. Mm-hmm. But we're Tres Marias. If you know Tres Marias, there are three sisters. So I'm the middle child. Yeah. So anyway, but my father never raised us to like to conform to the gender roles being imposed by the society, you know. Our father is dead set on teaching us to be responsible, to be financially independent, to generally be independent, and to be empowered by education. He never taken for granted education. Like he always exposed us to a lot of activities in terms of like even businesses, and even when we were growing up, workshops that gave me the confidence to be the person or the leader that I am today. I could say that I am a people person. I am more of a people-oriented kind of a leader. So I say that I get that because of my father. And aside from that, even though growing up, actually our first business was construction, he tried to expose us to that even at a very young age. It's okay if you because my sister is actually an engineer. So it's okay if we take roles or if we take jobs or activities that are, well, if you put it like in the perspective of toxic society, it would be like just for men, or you cannot do that because you're a woman. But our father, he never raised us like that. So I think my father has a very big contribution to the confidence that I have now, taking a leadership role in our business.
Sounds so awesome.
So inspirational.
It makes me think that maybe feminism is not really based on gender, it's based on a person's mindset. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I could say that confidence in leadership, as it is, also depends on, aside from your exposure, from your past experiences or your upbringing, it is also dependent on the culture that you are in, or the workplace, or the situation that you are in. So for me, if you will ask, for me, feminism is not just about like, you're a woman, you have to fight for this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But feminism is about honing and actually advocating for gender equality.
Yes, big thing.
Yeah, big thing, and also big thing about being also like a woman in business is being able to influence other people to do the same and to take other roles. You know, in one of our, like in our resort and restaurant business, majority of the people taking the management roles are women. Not because they are women and I am their leader, not because of that, but because they're actually very capable of doing the job. So I think that is it. Like, we have to cultivate a workplace a workplace for people to be empowered, not just because of who they are or not just because of what their gender is, but because they can do the job.
That is great. So, didn't you have like a sort of game prepared on Truths
That
Lie?
Yes, we actually have two game prepared for you. We have two...
Not the guessing game, please.
Oh, well...
Don't worry, we can give you choices. There's a lot easier.
Okay.
So we have two...
So I can blindly choose an...
Yes.
Yes.
And we have... Name that quote. Jeopardy style, you know?
Okay.
Okay, so first, two truths and one lie.
All right, so the first fact that I would like to say, or is it really a fact that you have to guess? The two highest IQ scores in recorded history belong to women. So is that true or is that false?
Hmm. I think this is a trick and a question. Because it's Women's Month, I'd say that it's true.
Yes. Surprisingly. True. Well, not surprisingly.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool how women have like two highest IQ scores in history. Like, wow.
During the early days, I got this from my Soctai professor. During the early days, women are really smart. Like, women are known to be smart because of their survival instincts, you know?
Exactly.
Because men are known to, were known to be the ones providing food for their family. So they're the ones who, how do you say it?
Single-handedly.
Yes, like something like that. And at the same time, like, they're the ones who get the animals. How can you say
the
hunting? Oh my God, anime. You can cut. So they're the ones to like be, I'm the man, I'm the head of the family, and the head of the pack. So they're the ones assigned for the hunting. Mm-hmm. But because of that, their mortality rate was low. And women at that time, because they're very smart, they tend for their families, they tend for their children. They know that when there were wild animals coming around, they knew what to do. Mm-hmm. But what men would do, they would hunt.
Yeah.
Right? But what women would do was to tend for their children, keep safe their family, you know. So I think women are really, really smart. Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that story as well, that women in the olden days were so perseverant that the woman had just given labor, like, in the kitchen itself, like, she had, and she just gave birth, and immediately she put her child on the bed and got back to cooking and working.
Wow.
So, can you believe that?
Women can do a lot of things, you know.
Exactly.
Okay. So, next one, 2 truths and 1 lie. So, there's 3 choices.
Okay.
So, the average amount of time a woman can keep a secret is 1 hour. Women spend nearly 1 year of their lives deciding what to wear, and women cannot remember things better.
Two truths. Okay. Yeah. I have to guess what's the lie?
Yeah. The lie. Yeah.
How many? Can you tell it? Can you say it?
Okay. So the average amount of time a woman can keep a secret is 1 hour. That's the first choice. The second one is women spend nearly 1 year, exaggeratingly, of their lives deciding what to wear. And then the third choice is women cannot remember things better.
I think the lie would be the third one.
Yes.
I know a lot of lawyers who are women. So I think they're good in memorizing things.
So true.
Now that you actually talked about law, have you watched the show Suits?
Yes, I love Suits.
See, as I said, as you talked about lawyers, we have Jessica Pearson, we have Donna, we have countless people.
Mm-hmm. So many people.
Yeah, so moving on, we now have a fun fact, which I think you may have kind of answered, but I'm going to give it to you in a form of misconception.
Okay.
Haven't you heard that, as you said, men, they're more business-minded, people prefer, they should be in business, women should stay at home because men are more rational, not controlled by emotions, you know, the business minds. So the fun fact is, it has been proven by recent statistics that women are actually better investors and more productive than men, even though society says that women are very driven by emotions.
Yeah, I think, you know, thank you for saying that, but there's also like a very big misconception about women trying to dominate men, but that's not really the case, because statistics always like it's saying the truth, you know.
Yeah. Right.
So I think it's because women, especially men, they're very practical, especially women who are mothers.
Yes.
Because they have to schedule, to really plan out their time. And to be very, very organized, because they have a child to tend, you know? And I'd say this kind of mindset that they have, the practical mindset that they have, is because of also, I think, the pressure that the society has been putting to them or to us, that we have to like work extra hour, we have to double work, because if we don't, it could be like we're doing the bare minimum, you know. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I could share to you an anecdote. Diba, I told you earlier that I wanted to share to you like 2 anecdotes that really awakened my views and also personal perspectives on feminism. So, can I share it?
Of course.
Okay. So, when I was in college, I had this internship for a production, a theatrical production in a uni. So, that's actually a big production. It's not just a class production.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big production. We really have to, like, sell tickets and we really have to earn like money to give profits because it's also a charity thing. Anyway, so that involved me to a co-production manager who was from a fraternity. It was a known fraternity, but I wouldn't say that their name. But yeah, so their job is to fund the production and also to give us manpower. And our job is also the same, but mostly on manpower and more on the artistic directions because I was also the assistant director at the time. I didn't know why I ended up as assistant director, but I just ended up as assistant director. So anyway, so few of their toxic traits began to show up, and some of our volunteers and interns were backing out because they felt that they were overworked. They felt that they weren't appreciated. They felt that they were interning in a very toxic environment. And so I tried to confront my co-production manager about it because majority of the pain points of those people who backed out were coming from their end of things. And you know what happened? We were in Starbucks, we were having a meeting, and they were trying to manipulate me that, imagine you're talking to a group of men, you're the only woman in that meeting. And they were manipulating me and telling me na they were backing up because of you, Anna, because you're too lenient, because you're too people person. They were even, exact word, they even said to me, you have to be like a dictator. That's a low blow, guys. It's really a low blow. At the time, because I was the only one representing my team, because I was the only one who had the position, and at the same time, I think, who had the guts to like confront them about it, I told them, I was like, at that time, like thinking, should I speak up? Or should I keep quiet and just handle things on my own? But then I thought, no, this is gonna be a long haul. Because the initial agreement for the team is to give like 50-50 effort. But they were expecting my team, majority of my team are also women, by the way, to double work. And to give you context, majority of my people were interns. And if you are an intern, you should know that those people were taking major classes. And maybe some of them are like writing their manuscript, writing their thesis. You see? So that's the reason why they backed out, actually. And then I told them, actually, it's not the case. I think majority of the problem is coming from your end because your people, I didn't objectify them. Like your people have to show up more and have to give more effort for the whole production to be successful. And I'm glad to say that it was a successful production at the end of it because we sold out all of our play dates. So it's really mind-boggling how men or how other people could manipulate you just because you are a woman. And right. They think that because you're a woman, you're lenient. Because you're a woman, you're people pleaser. You know, that's not the case. I think that being a woman requires also to speak up about this kind of manipulation and also this gaslighting, because they gaslighted me. So I think at that time, I was very, very reflective. But after I speak up, I gained a different layer of empowerment for myself. And also, I tried to influence other people to do the same. So,
I think this story was a classic case of mansplaining.
Honestly.
So much mansplaining.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
We move on?
We move on to the next game.
We move
next
on
game,
to
the
next game,
the Jeopardy style, name that code. So this is like guessing game, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
So from that wonderful story that you did say, from an eye-opening story that you did say, we would like to share
one
quote.
Yes.
Now, instead of saying the quote first, would you want to give like a super brief hint about it that won't give off?
Me?
Yeah, about who said it.
What should I do for this game?
You just have to guess among the three choices that we give you.
Okay. As long as there are choices.
Sure. So, the quote goes, "What I want is to become a powerful woman." So, I will give to you three choices. Now, this falls under the category of Netflix characters, based women. So, first character is Jessica Pearson from Suits. Second character is Fallon Carrington from Dynasty.
Okay.
And third character is Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl.
What's the quote again?
"What I want to be or become is a powerful woman."
So, I've never watched Dynasty.
Okay.
The peer pressure is there.
Yeah, I know. I watch Gossip Girl for like almost 3 times. I think Blair Waldorf could have the kind of, you know, energy. So I'd say Blair Waldorf.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that was the correct answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Yay!
Okay, so
I think I have an angel here. I have to bring that angel with me.
Your guardian angel?
Honestly. Okay, so the second quote goes, "Be a first-rate version of yourself instead of a second-rate version of somebody else." So this category falls under American actresses and singers. So three choices. We have Marilyn Monroe, Julia Roberts, or Judy Garland.
Okay. I don't know now. I don't know.
It's okay.
Okay, wild guess. B.
B is...
wrong?
No. Unfortunately.
Oh, it's okay.
So the correct answer is actually Judy Garland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So for the last
one. Letter B. See, it's really a wild guess.
Let's just switch the last answer to the second answer so that she can get it. It's as if it's correct.
Oh
yeah. Okay. So last quote.
Okay.
All right. So collectively, Osella and I picked this one as our last one because we feel like this is the strongest one. So, life isn't how to survive the storm; it's about how to dance in the rain. And this falls in the category of female singers.
Okay.
So first off, we have SZA. Second, we have Selena Gomez, and third, we have Taylor Swift.
I guess.
Yes.
SZA.
No. You know, since you have a guardian angel with you, we would like you and your guardian angel to redo this.
Yeah, second chance.
So it's either Selena Gomez or Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Yes, Taylor Swift.
And the guardian angel's name is...
Okay. Okay, so
thank you for the second try.
The second
You're
chance.
Welcome. So, would you like to discuss something important about these games?
Oh yes. So of course, with those games, we actually wanted to talk to you about woman empowerment.
Okay.
So, you know, as someone who's part of the business marketing, entrepreneur, those kinds of fields, what do you think are the beneficiaries and the challenges that you had to face in your workplace? I mean, given that you did mention about the challenges that you had to face earlier, what do you think our viewers can relate to, and what do you think you can tell them? Basically, advices on the advantages and disadvantages as a woman in the workplace.
I think you've already mentioned earlier about women having very practical like mindset, you know.
Right.
I think that's also an advantage of being a woman. But honestly, even though it's Women's Month and even though we're talking about women empowerment, just to debunk really the misconception about women hating men and also like women trying to dominate men, I'd say like all genders should have like the confidence to really speak up, because like another trivial I think disadvantage of, you know, being a woman is not having equal opportunities or nowadays. But I think again based on my upbringing, I know that the other women doesn't have the same upbringing that I have. So it's really sad to think that it's a privilege when it should be a right for all women to have the same kind of upbringing, you know, to have like the same kind of confidence, exposure to activities that were once known to be dominated by men, you know. Because I was also part of a construction business. So construction, as you know, it was a man-dominating industry. But I see a lot of women nowadays who are engineers. Personally, my sister is an engineer, so who's taking a role in that. So I think that I think it's not an advantage, but an opportunity for women to explore more fields, actually to explore all the fields that were not like societally like accepted as a role for women. So I think that's it.
Honestly, I think it's pretty depressing how people have this stereotype in society, how men can overpower women just because they're men, you know? Like, given that you did state that it should be a right instead of having it feel like it's a privilege just to...
Exactly. And also, I think, you know, I don't know if trust is the term, but based on my experience, last year I handled over 300 men, like construction workers, of course. I think it's like 300 to 350 if you include the admin and the security team. So part of my job is to handle the security and safety team. So imagine that I'm the only woman in that team. That's sad, but that's the truth. That happened, and that happens in the society, and I hope it's not happening, you know. But that is what is happening nowadays. So I'm the only woman in the team. And at that time, I think because I'm just a woman, they don't trust me when it comes to safety and security, because they felt like I was the one who needs protecting. Exactly. That's a sad story. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, we are empowered, we are educated, we are aware. I showed him that you can trust me. Like, I didn't have to like really impose myself, but just showed him. So I think it's also an opportunity for us today, because there are a lot of more aware people today, to just show what we have as a woman, to just show how good we are, to show how smart we are and practical we are at work. Because at that time, because he doesn't trust me, what he would say if there's like a, how can I say it, like a snatching me, ano nga ba yun, pag naglanakaw, robbery. Because I've experienced a lot of that, like robbery, and also some are sensitive, but that robbery and stuff, if there's a decision that has to be made, he would always refer to kay boss, kay boss. If you know what it means, kay boss, right? Of course. Or if not kay boss, kay sir, kay sir. Yeah. It's sad. It's really sad. But what I would say to that person, I would just say in Tagalog because that's how I really said it. Like, bakit ka magtatanong kay boss, kay sir? I'm the one managing this. I really spoke up. Like, I really speak up. Because I had to at the time. Because no one would do that for me. Only me. Because I'm the only woman there. And I'm the only person in charge. So who would call them out? No one. Only me. So I told him, you have to trust me in this. And then I gave him my decision. Like, I gave him the parameters that we had to do, the policies that we had to bring up. And I think that was effective, because after that time, no one tried to rob us again. So I think that was a success.
Actually, that's very, very inspiring. Honestly, yeah.
You have to speak up. Another thing that you said earlier was about feminism is not just about, or being empowered is not just about being a woman or being like a man. All genders have to be like very, very empowered, and that empowerment actually comes from your confidence, and that confidence comes from being aware and being educated by all of this stuff.
Exactly.
So now that you've given the advices to the benefits of the company and also the challenges, as we were talking about the connotation with feminism, I wanted to share this certain phenomenon that happens. When you say the word feminism, everyone, as you know, podcasts, certain podcasts or memes. I'm pretty sure we all love memes here,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. But sadly, the concept of feminism has had this negative connotation that it's about man-hating, or it's about being overtly sensitive about some things that are normal.
Yes.
So, my question here is that when you see certain comments, let's say this is a very funny post, and then some comment says, oh, look at the feminists crying in the corner, or the feminists are gonna get mad over that, even though we all love jokes, how do you feel about these type of jokes, knowing that this is actually not the reality of feminism?
Well, personally, I feel bad about them. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel bad about it, and I feel sad for them.
Mm.
Because if they like comment that, or if that's how they express themselves and think that's feminism, it means that they're not educated, and it means that they're not aware. So I feel sad. That's why I really promote education and hosting workshops and more open dialogues about these kind of things, because feminism is not about man hating. Feminism is not extremism. It's not about man. It's not about women wanting man to be down or to like overpower them or something. Feminism is actually one of the societal drivers for gender equality. So I think that's it. You have to, as women and as part of the, I would say feminist people, like, you know, we have to host or organize more events that are inclusive, and to collaborate more and promote a more gender equal society.
Okay. So now that you have given us a good highlight over what feminism is like, and what highlight did she offer to your question again?
My question?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's all about speaking up, empowering yourself.
Exactly.
Be more confident.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'd say it's not really hard to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
What's hard is, how can I say it? Parang, what's hard is not knowing what to speak up. So, if you are aware, if you expose yourself to these kind of dialogues, to if you expose yourself to what's happening now, to like objectively and yeah, I think it wouldn't be hard to speak up. Like if people know, then if women know then that they can speak up and that they can actually like argue these kinds of things and these topics, I think it wouldn't be hard for them.
I totally agree on that. And that talk also about how you feel sad about the people who don't know much about feminism, that they comment certain things, is something of a big highlight, because as we know, in the Philippines, there is a huge margin of uneducated people.
Exactly.
And it's something that must be noted, because in countries where there's a high margin of educated people,
exactly,
it's a lot different. So.
Exactly. And I also want to add, I shared before that I am also involved in a construction business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that easy to be a woman in construction, although I hope it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there were men before who were trying to objectify you and to like, not, again, what I said before, not trust you on bigger stuff because you're a woman. But I think, again, my father, I'm really proud that he's my father.
Uh-huh.
My father would always tell me, no, you just show them. You don't let them do that to you. You don't let them tell you that. Speak out and then show them. That's why in whatever I do, not just because I'm a woman, but because I'm me as a person, I do 101% of everything. So I think that's it. Be confident, speak up, and be aware and be educated.
Exactly.
We're not talking about being educated, like attending 4-year course or like being in a very prestigious institution, you know. Being educated means exposing yourselves to this critical discussion, critical topics. Education is very accessible nowadays because of everything. You can find everything online. There are a lot of free courses, even on women. I think that was 4 or 3 years ago, I attended this Theory of Happiness. It was a course online also, and it's free. And I mean, you can search everything online nowadays. So it's bad to say, no, I'm not aware, I don't know what's happening, you know. So that's it. I think you really have to expose yourself more and to be more confident.
That was actually quite nice to listen to, wasn't it? So we'll be moving on to our segment of key takeaways. And I wanted to, first of all, say how your dad is such a feminist icon.
He is.
He's so real.
It's ironic, but he is. He is, actually. I think my dad is more of a feminist icon than my mom. Because for my mom, we're all babies, you know. We're girls, you know.
Yeah.
But for dad, no. You are Anna. You are who you are because of the things that you allowed yourself to, like because of the activities that you experience, because of all of those things. That, yeah. So my dad is really like my idol.
That is actually really great to hear. And for me, for my key takeaway, before I hand it over to Osella's key takeaway, I would like to end it with a certain tweet that I once read, how people were very much so commenting about Disney princesses, how they would usually, certain Disney princesses would wait for their Prince Charming and would do the traditional household chores. But some as well, especially now, since a lot has progressed, they also have more leadership roles. They tend to fight for their rights, they tend to voice out their opinions, and there were people who would say that, oh, the previous one, who willingly wanted to wait for their Prince Charming, or who willingly wanted to do their household chores, were looked down upon. When in this tweet that I specifically read, and lots of female activists showed that feminism is not just about women succeeding in such high positions that
exactly,
they're completely
right.
better.
Exactly.
It's about their choice.
Exactly, that's beautiful. Personally, I always tell my boyfriend,
uh-huh.
even before when I was in, before I had a relationship, I always tell myself, I cannot be a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can never allow it. Maybe because, like, I don't know how you say that in English, but they say it in Tagalog na may ano ka sa paa mo, parang meron kang ano ko lang po kayo sinabi, hindi alam. But it's like you have something on your feet. I forgot that something, but you have something on your feet that will not allow you to stay at home because you always have to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. Something like that. That's a saying. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the kind of person that I am. And because I'm also an entrepreneur, so I have to be like everywhere, know the trends and everything. So I always tell to myself, I cannot be a housewife. Mm-hmm. I cannot be a stay-at-home mother. But that doesn't mean that I look down to women mm-hmm. who wants to do the exact opposite that I wanted to do. Because before we had other businesses, my mom was a housewife. But, well, before she was a procurement officer for a company, and then she became a housewife because of us. Because she had to tend for us and take care of us. I gained a really big respect on those women because it's not easy. It's very, very hard to raise people.
Right.
It's hard to raise people who wouldn't hurt other people, you know? It's hard to raise us, as Tres Marias. It's hard to raise us. So it's not devaluing if you wanted to be a housewife. And if you wanted to be a housewife and, you know, be a wife to a man, it's not also devaluing. So I think that's really a beautiful tweet. I'm not on Twitter. Because back then, Twitter was, back in 2015, I think Twitter was very, very toxic.
Well, there's so much that I actually learned. So I think my main key takeaway is just, even if it's easier when it's said than it's done, I think the best thing, not only as women, but as people part of society, gender equality is pretty important. And we must be confident and learn how to speak up when, even if there are things where it's as if you're not privileged to speak up, I think it's best that people should also hear about your opinion. And how I feel like society has this stereotype that, you know, as I said, that men can dominate women, when in reality, I feel like, you know, it's just equal. And people should be more open-minded in that case, in that women shouldn't feel privileged. Instead, it should be a right to being more confident and learning how that they also have the right to do or act as what they want.
Exactly. Ang gata kasi na sinabi, I forgot. No, move mo ako. Charot. No. What I wanted to share also from your insight, I think since we are already empowered women, I think, and we have to influence other people to do the same, we're just part of the force that could advocate more on deeply on gender equality. So this also goes, I think this kind of topic also mm-hmm. goes for the LGBTQ community. That it's not just about like feminism, it's not just about being a woman, but also being a person in a society.
Right.
That we have to vote, or we have to implement more inclusive policies, like, or we have to advocate more gender equal opportunities for everyone. Like what I said, I think it's very important, like especially for you guys, because this kind of podcast is very, very very, very important nowadays. And kudos to you guys for bringing this kind of topics here. It's not easy, Even if you talk about like feminism or women empowerment, they would say, ah, you can search it up, you can look it up, but it's not easy. This kind of dialogue is not easy because some people, it's hard for them to show their truths. It's hard for them to tell their narratives as a woman, you know? Like specifically for me, actually after what we discussed today, I have a different learning from my experience, huh? Back when I was traveling alone, when I was objectified, when I was like sexualized because I was a woman. But then like looking back to that experience and having this kind of dialogue with you guys, I had a different like learning from that experience na, oh, maybe if I really speak up more and I'm confident more about myself and my body, you know, I think it would help me at that time. And this kind of podcast, what you guys are doing, is very helpful, especially for people who didn't know what feminism is, mm-hmm. or of how being empowered actually means and how to be empowered. So again, I'd like to emphasize really on education and awareness as a huge part of being empowered. So I think that's it.
So that was some really nice words. Honestly, I just can't like think of more words because it's just, it's very self-explanatory what she said. So before we formally end this, we just want to showcase appreciation not only to our guest speaker who has said so many things that we've learned from you have, and we also want to give appreciation to our team who actually thought of this idea, this concept, as well as the viewers watching and to the women out there everywhere, and also to the men who support women, just like your father, just like my father, and I'm assuming your father as well, who helped us in this stepping stone. So now, would you like to add anything else about just Women's History Month in general?
Wait. Can I? Okay. Siguro ano? I have to really emphasize on the education. I think what I can like. Not request, but I can add to you guys is maybe you can, like in the future, if you are like part of an organization in your universities or even outside the university, maybe you can participate more on the grassroots workshops or opportunities or community-based, community-based workshops or seminars for women and women empowerment, and maybe you can contribute to that more, because contributing to those kinds of events really help a lot, and participating in those kinds of events mean that there are people who care.
Right.
So I think this podcast is us like telling people to care about this kind of topic and to actually know about this kind of topic. So I think that's it. Be educated, be aware, do not just comment what you want and what you feel just because you think that is what should be, but be aware. So, and also I think, I'm sorry.
No problem.
And I think let's show other people, especially women, to explore all the opportunities that they want to explore.
Exactly.
Be it in the medical, in the political, in the hospitality field, depending on what you want, because your gender doesn't define who you should be. You define who you should be. So I think that's it.
Oh my god, if only we could have clapped for that, but the mic is very sensitive. So, thank you so much, and we would like to formally wrap our episode today. So, don't forget to follow us on social media at Ender Unmuted and at Ink Endron on Instagram and on Facebook. If there's anything you want us to talk about, feel free to reach out by sending us a message, just like we did today on Women's History
Month. Of course. So, unfortunately, we are now muting again. Thank you for tuning in with us. For more episodes like this, stay tuned to Ender and Unmuted, your favorite podcast segment.
So my name is Yashika Chitani from 11A.
And my name is Asala Fenyo. And thank you for your time, Miss Anna Sagao.
Thank you, guys.
And we are your Enron Unmuted. Hear you soon.
Yay.
Yay.
That was
cool.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We were happy that you talked a lot.
Honestly.